I was reading this story today, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. And, you know, long-term care is something that we're going to be obviously concentrating, Tamara, on for a very long time. Because as you aptly pointed out earlier, this has been an issue before the pandemic. It will continue to be an issue during the pandemic and, of course, as we get out of the pandemic. But I want to introduce you to a woman named Kathy Parks. Kathy is a Pickering woman who lost her father during the first wave of COVID-19 at a place that has been in the news quite a bit, Orchard Villa Retirement Community in Pickering. Kathy, thanks for taking the time tonight.
Hi, Ryan and Tamara. Thanks for having me.
First of all, tell us about your dad, because I think these stories are important to put a human face to it all, because often we talk about, you know, numbers when we talk about people who die at long-term care facilities and retirement homes, but your dad is certainly not a number to you.
No, he's not. And it's hard when you see those numbers come out, because I always think, you know, it's that number and plus my dad. So, and everyone has a family, everyone had a life and a history, and it is important that we think of it that way. So, dad worked his whole career at the Scarborough Town Eaton Center. He was a manager. He had my two older brothers and myself. Very kind, loved gardening, loved the outdoors, and found himself in a position, you know, at the age of 84 where he was declining in health. I had been taking care of him for about 2 years prior to that, and it was just so physically wearing on me. I work full time. So it was something I couldn't maintain, and we found ourselves having to, you know, look at long-term care. And he had always said, I don't want to be a burden. Put me in long-term care if you have to. So he ended up going in November of 2019 and lived there for 5 months before the pandemic hit. And he really struggled the last 6 days of his life, fever, you know, dehydration, malnutrition, and alone. I wasn't allowed to send him to the hospital or be with him when he passed away.
I can't imagine, Kathy, how awful that must have been. If you've been listening to the show, you know that my grandmother died this weekend, and I am very acutely aware of how fortunate of it I was to have been able to at least visit her in the hospital in the days before she died. So my condolences to you. Now, I believe it was the mayor of Pickering, Dave Ryan, who had written that moving forward, that he acknowledges the critical need for more LTC beds in Pickering and Durham region, but that this need can only be addressed with the full confidence that the health, safety, and well-being of the residents will be taken into account. Does that give you confidence? I mean, he's saying that in the review of this 30-year license application by Orchard Villa, that the ministry must be absolutely confident that the owners and operators have overhauled and reprioritized its model of care. Does that give you any sense of confidence hearing the mayor say that?
No. No, and I had actually spoken to city councilors, and the mayor was aware of this before he sent that letter. That letter was forwarded to me right after it was sent to Rod Phillips. And I did reply to the mayor and the councilors just saying, you know, it's nice that it was acknowledged. And I realize on a municipal level, they don't have jurisdiction, but it needed to be much stronger. Because the problem is, you know, since April and May of 2020, when all of this happened in Orchard Villa, they've had 5-6 incident reports where they're continuing to fail in infection prevention and control, giving wrong medication, not hydrating, not feeding, soiled hallways. I mean, it's all online. And so that to me has been 15 months of a probation period and failure. And the wording really needs to be, they cannot allow this 30-year license and 87 extra beds to go to this home where, you know, in Ontario, the rate in this home, the death rate was the highest of ever anywhere in Ontario. It's clear they haven't learned, and now the probation period's over, and this just needs to move into, you know, either the region's hands or the province's hands and the for-profit in order.
Would you be more comfortable, because it is a 30-year license that they are applying for, and that's the reason we're telling this story this afternoon. You lost your dad at Orchard Villa. A lot of other people lost loved ones there. Would you be, I don't want to say happy, because this is not a happy story, but would you be more agreeable, if I can use that term, to a shorter extension, meaning that this place could prove themselves over 5 years, let's say, and then reapply if they wanted something longer?
No, only because of everything I just said. They've had 15 months, and when the eyes were taken off of them, they just continued in their failures. And it's my understanding this license actually expires in 2025. So they're still going to have this home for 4 years, which to me says this government has 4 years to figure out for somebody else to step in and take it over. I think they've proven that they haven't changed. You know, they haven't, they're even having staffing issues to this point. So, and this I know because I'm still talking to families. I'm closely connected to families who have loved ones in there. Mm-hmm. So, no, I think we're past the point. I think this was pre-pandemic, worse during pandemic, continues after, you know, wave one. I think it's enough. It's just time to say, let's close the book on this.
Well, Pam Crosby, I got to give the other side of the story here. And Orchard Villa has put out a statement. She's the president of the Orchard Villa Family Council. She feels lessons have been learned as a result of the first wave of the COVID-19 at Orchard Villa. She says it's her opinion that Orchard Villa is taking the knowledge, which is continually reviewed and updated, to make informed decisions in order to drive their infection control practices in the home to ensure safety, the safety of staff and residents. That's an email response that they put forward in a story. Have you talked to Pam or anybody from this organization?
I have not. No, they certainly haven't reached out. And I, the only thing I would say to Pam is, have you read the incident reports? And that's another thing, is every incident report was initiated by a family member. These aren't surprise inspection reports. These are families complaining, and an inspector went in and found they are not following infection prevention and control. So I'm not sure. I don't know if she's read them or not. I hope she would.
All right, we're gonna leave it at that. Kathy, we appreciate you telling your side of the story, and our thoughts, of course, are with you and your father, Paul, who died alone there last year in April.
I commend you for continuing to be an advocate on his behalf. You could have walked away from this, but it's commendable.
Thank you so much. There's Kathy Parks, Pickering woman who lost her father during the first wave.